Welcome in, podcast listeners. Happy Halloween Eve. We have got a loaded show for you. I'll tell you a ghost story with Jason Whitlock hanging out with me. I'll also bring in my guy at the Lance Taylor to talk about everything in the world. And J-Mart, he's on 104.5 The Zone now with his own show, but he hangs out with us for hour one. All that still to come. Loaded Halloween Eve edition of the program. This will be Outkick on Fox Sports Radio.
Outkick the coverage with Clay Travis live every weekday morning from 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern, 3 to 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for Outkick the coverage at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every morning on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
It is Halloween Eve. We have got an absolutely loaded show for you across the entirety of this eve of Halloween. In the first hour of the program, we're going to hang out in a little bit with my guy, Jason Martin, who used to be the producer of this show. In the second hour, Jason Whitlock will swing by, and he is scheduled to hang out with us for the entirety of the second hour of the program. And then in the third hour, Lance Taylor at the Lance Taylor on Twitter, 94.5 Jocks down in Birmingham. He is a huge Dodger fan. He is scheduled to come by and celebrate the Dodgers winning their first World Series since 1988. But we begin with the fact that it is Halloween Eve, and we have got a lot of fun headed your way. First of all, there are a lot of Atlanta area sports fans listening to this open right now saying, oh, now we win a game. We can't win when we're down 3-1 against the LA Dodgers. We lose three straight, Dodgers win the World Series. We can't win when we go on the road against Alabama and we have a chance to establish Kirby Smart as the first ever coach to beat Nick Saban, who used to coach for Nick Saban. No, we lose that game. And in fact, in the second half, we get blown out. And we can't win, I'm sorry, Atlanta Falcon fans, we can't win the Super Bowl or games that really matter, but when we are 1-6 and everybody has started to turn the page and say, you know what, maybe it's time for us to finally think about replacing Matt Ryan, just maybe we could actually lose when we need to lose and win when we need to win. But instead, the Atlanta Falcons and Matt Ryan will not go quietly into that good night. Thursday night football, it's not a spectacular game. It's not necessarily a game that the nation was clamoring for, but the Falcons go on the road and they beat the Carolina Panthers. And in the process, they go ahead and toss themselves into the mix of teams that win when they need to lose. Because I guarantee you, the vast majority of Atlanta Falcons fans listening to us right now are ready to turn the page on Matt Ryan. They've already fired the head coach. They've already replaced all of the management. And then what happens? The Falcons, who have found a way to lose a game on an onside kick, who have found a way to lose a game while not trying to score at the end of the game, sorry, Todd Gurley, and who have found a way to give up a huge late lead to the Chicago Bears, who have absolutely, positively no offense, suddenly go out and win a game on the road against the Carolina Panthers. And we didn't really have any doubts about this to begin with, but the Atlanta Falcons now 2-6, the Carolina Panthers now 3-5. We already knew this was the case beforehand, but now it's even more firmly the case. The NFC South is going to come down to 43-year-old Tom Brady against 41-year-old Drew Brees to find out which of them is the greatest 40-plus-year-old on the planet. And my vote is probably going to go for Tom Brady. So that is the NFL news. NFL Week 8 underway. The other bit of news, which is fairly significant for those of you out there who are college football fans, is Trevor Lawrence at Clemson, the presumptive number one overall pick, has tested positive for COVID and will not play this weekend against Boston College. Now, all of the Corona bros out there are going to tell you, oh my goodness, this is such a massive story. The reality is, based on the timing, it appears Trevor Lawrence is likely to be back for the Notre Dame game next week. And even if he's not back for the Notre Dame game next week, Clemson would, if Notre Dame beat them, which I'm not sure would happen, but might happen, if Notre Dame beat them, Clemson would get a rematch in the ACC title game against Notre Dame. Now, I don't think they're really going to miss Trevor Lawrence against Boston College, although I am betting Boston College on this game, and we'll have a conversation about exactly what the line was, but I put up my picks on Thursday night and told you, if you were fortunate enough to have been following me on Twitter, that I loved Boston College plus 31, and guess what? Now I feel even better about the plus 31 than I did before, because I think this line is likely to move in a big way whenever it reopens officially everywhere, probably by a touchdown or more. But the reality is, if you are a Clemson fan or you are someone who has gambled on Clemson, all this is going to do is pretty much guarantee you that Trevor Lawrence is good to go for the entire college football playoff. And maybe this reflects how jaded I am in general, but my first thought when I saw this news story come out was, wait a minute, this is phenomenal for Clemson. Now they don't have to worry about their starting quarterback, the future number one draft pick in the NFL, actually testing positive for COVID in a game that really matters. Arguably, this is the best thing that could have happened to Clemson's title chances, because if the Tigers lose to anybody without Trevor Lawrence, everybody's going to response is going to be, well, of course they did. But once they actually get back to regular Trevor Lawrence play, they're not going to lose to anybody in the ACC. And if they win, it's just further evidence of how much better they are than everybody else.
Be sure to catch live editions of Outkick, the coverage with Clay Travis, weekdays at 6 a.m. Eastern, 3 a.m. Pacific.
Longtime listeners of the show will remember that Jason Martin used to be the producer of my program. With Dub out, I decided to bring him in. Dub is down in New Orleans going to his bachelor party. If you listen to the end of Thursday's show, you know that not only did he go down to New Orleans, he left the show early to make his flight down to New Orleans. So J-Mart has his own show that is on at 6 a.m. in Nashville now. So he's doing very well. But I got him in for the first hour of the program, for part of the first hour of the program today. J-Mart, what's shaking?
Not a whole lot. I heard yesterday, because people were tweeting me, because whenever my name comes up on OutKick, it ends up filtering down to me awfully quickly. People laughing at me saying that you were telling the story about the hotel incident.
Yes, I thought you might die. Because I'll give you the background on that. Yesterday we had Jeff Schwartz on. And so I asked Jeff, I was like, hey, what's the best reason for Thursday night football to watch? And he said, well, Christian McCaffrey's not playing. They're saying that we're going to have like the remnants of a hurricane during the game. And I was like, I don't think it's going to be actually that bad. But then in the background, he is actually making, while he was talking to us yesterday morning, a lunch for his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
So everybody on the show is like, wait a minute, you are saying it's going to be so wild and so crazy in Charlotte because of the remnants of the hurricane. yet you're making your daughter, first of all, her lunch in a paper sack, and then you're sending her out into the ravages of the wild. And so, you know, we started making jokes about how dangerous it was going to be and everything else. And then I was like, well, what happens if, like, a tree fell on their car when they're driving to school or something, and they have, like, a serious issue? And then I've been joking about how, you know, something bad might happen. And that, of course, reminded me of when I thought you died at the Super Bowl in Minnesota, and I had to get a wellness check on your room because I was, like, joking about the fact that you might die. And then as it went hour by hour and I hadn't heard from you, I was like, oh, my God, would we have to burn the – like, what's the acceptable response when you are joking about a bad outcome that you think is highly improbable, but then it happens and somebody's dead? Like, what do you do, like, on the show? You know, like, I don't know how you address it. Because you're like, well, like, you know, turns out. So, because I've given the people on the show, if I ended up getting killed by a wild animal, for instance, after all the Animal Thunderdome talk, it would be very fair game for somebody to be like, hey, you know, crazy, but I think we have to kind of enjoy this. Clay got killed by a tiger when he went to India, right? Or if I, like, went on a African safari and a crocodile dragged me out. First of all, I don't think I would get into a raft just for that purpose. But if, like, a crocodile or a lion or something like that killed me on an African safari, I think it would be fair game for you guys to, like, you know, do a memorial service effectively on the radio show for me and have some fun with the incredible irony of the fact that I got killed by an animal.
Look, man, the way I would say it is, if there's anything we've learned over the past few weeks watching the mainstream media, it would appear to me that you can just play this whole, these are not the droids you're looking for, and just move right along as if nothing ever happened, because a lot of stories just seem to not have actually happened, so there's no reason why you can't do that in this scenario.
So, by the way, we haven't talked to you on the air. You started off on the show, and you knew that, like, we had a lot of fans in the West Wing, because I think you would talk often about how it seems sometimes as if Trump were tweeting, listening to the show. And they say that he's listened to the show. I don't know if that's true. Mm-hmm. But I do know a lot of people in the West Wing of the president's administration listen to the show. And probably some of the things that we talk about in the world of sports filter in. Were you surprised? I don't think we've had you on. So we had the president on
twice
in August, and then we had the president on in September. Were you surprised that we had him on either time?
No, and you know this answer before you ask me, but you just want me to say it on air. I predicted it.
Yeah, that's
right. I told you beforehand. I told you years ago. I said before the end of his first term, he will be on this program, if not more, meaning where you and Whitlock ended up a couple of weeks ago, which that surprised me just because I wasn't expecting to get an email with Jason Whitlock in a suit.
Yeah.
That was the most stunning thing. I was like, whoa. Because I've seen Jason Whitlock do interviews where it's just like, I'm not sure he owns a suit. Like, he's very NFG, as my producer Jonathan Schaefer would say here in Nashville. Jason Whitlock's real comfortable in his own skin at this point in time. But no, I was not surprised in the least. I was not surprised when he came back on a second time. It made all the sense in the world to me.
So the White House experience in general was crazy. I mean, it was crazy to have the President of the United States on. But the ability to be in the White House and to own a media company that is interviewing the President of the United States is an experience, frankly, that's unlike any other I've ever been a part of.
I'll bet.
And that was just thoroughly incredible in general. So that was, I thought, really an exhilarating and an unbelievable experience, and one that you don't necessarily anticipate to be in the Oval Office getting your picture taken and shaking hands and just talking with the President of the United States. It's a really cool experience to be able to put on the bucket list.
No doubt. We were in Florida, in your neck of the woods down there a couple of weeks ago for my birthday, and I guess my wife's birthday is now 2 days away as well, and just kind of... we saw that email pop up that Whitlock was in the Oval Office. As soon as I said that, I'm like, well, Clay's obviously there too.
Yeah.
And then I gotten a message from somebody saying, asking where I was instead of you. When you were out, usually I'm in. And I was just like, well, I had another radio show that I had to do, so I was not in. But it was cool, and I knew it was cool. Then I saw the photos, and I saw the one with your wife and your son in it. And Trump just... he, from what I could gather and what I saw from his conversation with Whitlock, he just treats people with respect. And that was appreciated. It just seemed like you guys fit like a glove there.
Yeah, we had a good time. Look, and I can't speak to how anybody gets treated by anybody else. And I always say, and I've been saying this on the radio show for a long time, I only judge people based on my personal interaction with them. Because there's just so much noise out there about so many people in our arena, whether it's coaches, whether it's players, whether it's media figures. I'm fortunate to get to meet a lot of them. And I don't have any precondition when I go in for a meeting. I judge them entirely based on my interaction with them. And the president was great. I mean, I don't even really care about how anybody interacts with me at this point, especially when my wife and kid are there. I just want the president being great to my 12-year-old. I mean, as much of a fun as it is and as incredible as it is to be 40, 1 year old and be in the White House meeting the president. I mean, being 12 years old and getting to meet the president of the United States in the Oval Office was certainly an incredible moment for my oldest son. Okay, all that is great. Usually Dub and I on Friday will draft the best games. Let me give you a roadmap of where we're headed, by the way, on the show. We are going in hour two to hang out with Jason Whitlock. Whitlock and I had a bunch of meetings this week, and so Whitlock didn't come on Tuesday as he usually does. So he will have Whitlock Fridays. He is scheduled to be with us on this second hour of the program. And then in the third hour of the program, usually LT is with us. LT is going to join us in the third hour of the program now. But let's go ahead and dive in. Usually we draft the best games of the weekend. And there are actually a lot of interesting best games in the NFL. So I want to start there. Do you want first pick in college football, J-Mart, since you are visiting today? Or do you want first pick in the NFL? I'll give you your choice.
I'll take first pick in the NFL.
Okay.
I'll take first pick in the NFL, and I'm not going to go the obvious one. I wrote down one, and then I looked at a second one and changed my mind.
Okay,
because,
what do you got, and why?
If there's one thing that I've looked in 2020 and been excited about, it's watching these young quarterbacks.
Yep.
I love Justin Herbert. I've been so blown away with how he has adapted the NFL environment. I think he's a stud. Joe Burrow obviously is playing your Tennessee Titans on Sunday. I'll be interested to see how a pretty bad secondary so far this year navigates him, because he just put up 30-plus against the Browns. But there is a better game on the slate, but the thing I'm most interested to see is what Tua Tagovailoa looks like.
Yeah, that's a good game.
So I'm going to take the Rams at the Dolphins. Rams, a pretty good team in the best division in the NFL. And here's Tua starting. And you just want him to be good, Clay. You want all these young quarterbacks to be studs, because if you have a bunch of great quarterbacks, you've got a great league. So I want to watch Tua. I loved him in college. I fear for his safety in the NFL because of the injury risk and all of those things. But that's my pick. It might be a little different than some people, but I want to watch Tua's first game.
You know what? I think I can say this publicly now. So Tua trained for the NFL draft with Trent Dilfer here in Nashville, right? The town that we live in. And he worked out at D1 where Will Bartholomew, great dude, former University of Tennessee football player, won a national championship there. Peyton Manning's one of his business partners. He's built a great chain of gyms around the country and been very successful with them. So my 10-year-old is a massive Tua Tagovailoa fan. At the time, he was 9 years old. And so we got to go in and watch Tua's official workout that got mailed out to everybody in the NFL, because he couldn't have a traditional pro day. So we were up like in the bleachers, like the ramparts there. There's only like, probably 10 or 12 people in the entire gym. And I also met Tua's family, right? And Tua's family are just absolutely phenomenal. I didn't say anything publicly about the fact that we were there, because I didn't want to create a stir during the, oh, nobody can be anywhere near anybody else during the lockdown phase. But it was, I mean, he is such a really good dude. Jerry Jeudy was there. They both took time to talk to my son, and it's impossible for me not to root for Tua as a result. I was saying earlier, talking about getting to meet the president, that I try and judge everybody based on my interaction with them face to face, and Tua and his family were just, I mean, grade A people. And so it's hard for me not to root for him to do fabulously well down in Miami. Having said that, I think that's going to be a tough matchup because of how good the Rams defense has been playing. But that's a game my 10-year-old has already said, "Oh, Dad, you know, make sure we've got the we've got that game up so I can watch it," because he is a monster Tua fan. So I think it's going to be really interesting beyond a shadow of a doubt. So that Tua game is a good one. My draft in, so I'll go back to back here. My draft in the NFL, the game that I think is going to be the best to watch, Steelers-Ravens.
Of course.
Okay. I mean, that's the no-doubt game for most people out there. AFC North, real battle between those two teams. I think it's fair to say that the Ravens have not played with the same panache that they played with last year. They haven't had that same effervescent, you have no chance to stay with us quality. And they got dominated in their biggest game that they've played so far this year, which was the Chiefs coming to town. I believe that was a Monday night football game, if I'm not mistaken. Maybe it was a Sunday night game, primetime game regardless. Got absolutely dominated. And so this, to me, is a big game for Lamar Jackson. Look, we know Lamar Jackson is 0-2 in the playoffs. He had an incredible MVP season last year, but 0-2 in the playoffs. Patrick Mahomes came to town. And basically, they made the Ravens look like they don't belong in the same category with them. If the Steelers came to Baltimore and won that game, I think there would start to be a lot of whispers about, hey, the Ravens are okay, but they're not good enough to be able to be considered one of the elite, elite teams. Steelers are 6-0, fortunate to beat the Titans thanks to the Gostkowski wide right field goal right at the end of that game. Otherwise, they would have been in overtime. They played well in the first half, mediocre, I would say, in the second half against the Titans, just good enough to get the win. Big division game that Steelers can take a commanding lead in the division, let's be honest. If they beat the Ravens at the midway point of the season, they would be basically undefeated and have a 2.5-game lead going down the stretch with the Ravens. And I know home field is not as big of a deal as it usually is, but they would be requiring the Ravens to then come to Pittsburgh. And that would be a commanding position for the Steelers, not only to win the AFC North, but to potentially win the number one seed overall in the AFC. So this is a monumentally huge game. I think it's an easy call for me. Steelers on the road against the Ravens is the best one. College football. Not as good of a slate, let's be honest. Not as good of a slate in the college football universe right now. You look at college football, and there are a lot of games, not a ton that stand out that you think, oh my God, this is must see. We can't miss it. But the game that stands out, and it has a little bit less of a draw than it would if they had actually been able to just win that game like they should have against Indiana, it's Ohio State on the road against Penn State. I think this game's going to end up relatively close. You can make the argument that it's the toughest game on the schedule potentially for Ohio State. I know they've got Michigan, but they've won whatever it is, 6 in a row against Michigan. That game is in the shoe, even without crowds, going on the road in Happy Valley. Penn State has played Ohio State very close the past several years. This is a way to effectively erase the Indiana win, because I think if you told James Franklin, if you told Penn State fans, hey, here's the deal, you're going to lose on the final play of the game against Indiana, but the next week you're going to come back and beat Ohio State, I think every Penn State fan would sign up for that. I really do. Because I think that's how monstrously big this game is. And so I believe the play here, beyond a shadow of a doubt, is to take Penn State. It's my blood bank guarantee. I'm going to give you a bunch of gambling picks here in a minute to close out the hour in college football. But to me, the play is pretty straightforward. It is watch Penn State, Ohio State, best game on college football, the slate. What game would you draft, J. Mart?
I mean, you're right, but I'll take Texas, Oklahoma State.
That's a good one, too.
Oklahoma State undefeated. They're pretty much the Big 12's only hope, really, in terms of getting into college football playoff, I think. But I think it's just a huge game for Texas, because, and it's a huge game for Tom Herman, because, boy, is the bloom off that rose right now. They need a great performance. Oklahoma State actually has a defense for a change, and they have a great running back, obviously. I think that's the other no-brainer game here, but you're right. It's just not that great of a slate, but that one has my attention because I want to know if Texas is just going to tank this thing out or if they're going to turn this into something. Right now, it's only a 3.5-point spread in favor of Oklahoma State. So I anticipate Texas trying to play over their heads to shut Mike Gundy up and at least get a little bit of the heat off their own football team.
Yeah, I think that's pretty fascinating to think about. All right.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
What's wild in general, I would say, about all of kind of the chaos going on in the world of sports is that that as a result, sometimes I forget to give you my gambling picks. Yesterday, we did our fifth anniversary edition of the draft, of the Halloween candy draft. And I want to be kind to the listeners, so I'm trying to think of how to phrase this. You guys were absolute garbage. You were atrocious at drafting Halloween candy. And as a result, I forgot to give the college football gambling picks out on Thursday, as I usually do. And so we are moving the college football gambling picks to Friday. Now, I got to be honest with you. We are on absolute fire right now with the OutKick six-pack of NFL picks. That is, every Friday, we give out the final segment of the show, six NFL gambling picks. And we are walking on air. We are on fire. 25-12 in the NFL gambling picks so far. That is an extraordinary performance. College football, not so good. We are 21-30. And I me doing live math on the radio is always dangerous and always ends in near disaster. But if I'm not mistaken, that means we're 46-42 overall, which is fairly mediocre. But the NFL's been killing it. College football has been an absolute and unmitigated disaster. But, and this is pretty significant, I do believe that we're going to start to turn the corner now. And so I believe we're going to be off and running here with a lot of success. And here are my 10 picks for you going into the weekend. By the way, I should mention this too. If you happen to be listening in person or on podcast in the state of Tennessee, online sports gambling is officially going to go legal in my home state on Sunday. So if you live in any of the eight surrounding states that border Tennessee, you can also use Tennessee's online gambling market by just crossing the state line. So if you're listening to me in Kentucky and you live in southern Kentucky or northern Georgia or Alabama or North Carolina or Arkansas or Missouri or Mississippi or any of those states where you are right on the border with Tennessee, you can drive right across the state line, go get gas, have this app set up, make your bets, and they will then pay you back. Maybe you're going to be on the road for a wedding or you're going to a sporting event for some reason. All of those things become easily and readily bettable now on Sunday morning in the state of Tennessee. So you can do all that by going to FanDuel.com/Clay, FanDuel.com/Clay, and you will get $50 free just for signing up. FanDuel.com/Clay. And by the way, if you live in Pennsylvania, New Jersey, Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, Colorado, West Virginia, it's already legal in those states. So you can go sign up right now if you haven't already, FanDuel.com/Clay. All right, here we go with the gambling picks. Michigan, Michigan State. I like Michigan State -24. I think Michigan is going to absolutely blow out Michigan State. We saw Michigan State against Rutgers not be able to have any success at all. I think that is going to continue. Another abject failure for Michigan State to begin the season. I'm sorry, Spartan fans. My blood bank guarantee, we're sticking in the Big Ten. I'm tapping the vein. You may even be able, can you hear me? That's me tapping the vein right there. Tapping the vein and telling you, go sell your blood for this game. I love Penn State at home against Ohio State. If you go back and look, first of all, as I said on Monday, props to Indiana and Michael Penix, I think is his name, Jr., stretching out and being able to get that touchdown. Props to Indiana for the win. Props to Tom Allen, their coach. A lot of reason for Hoosier happiness over that win, given all the close losses that had already occurred. But Penn State outgained Indiana by more yards than almost anybody in all of FBS on Saturday. I like to go look at the box score and look at total yardage. Penn State gave that game away. They were more dominant in terms of yardage gain than almost any team in the country. They got more yards on their opponents than Ohio State did against Nebraska, than Michigan did against Minnesota, than any of the teams that won in the Big Ten in week one. Okay, than Wisconsin did on Illinois. So the yardage differential suggests that Penn State should have won that game by 14 to 20 points. Instead, they lost by one. Why do I bring that up? Well, because I think Penn State is going to play really well against Ohio State. I think they cover, and I think it's a one-score game in the fourth quarter. Penn State has typically played Ohio State pretty well. I think that continues. LSU on the road. It's my blood bank guarantee. Penn State is plus the points. LSU on the road, minus 2.5 or 3, depending on where you are, against Auburn. And I should tell you, I give these picks out on our VIP message board first. So if you sign up for the OutKick VIP, you go to the message board. So I'm using the numbers on Tuesday when I put these up. LSU on the road against Auburn. I like LSU. I think they got their mojo back. I don't believe in Auburn. They could easily be 1-4 or 0-5. I've got LSU minus the points against Auburn. How about Georgia on the road against Kentucky? I think this is an incredibly easy call. I've got Georgia minus 14.5 at Kentucky. I also love the under 42.5. Kentucky can't score. They have zero offense. Unless Jared Garantano is throwing interceptions to them, there is no hope there. I love Georgia and the under in this game with Georgia on the road against Kentucky. Mississippi State at Alabama, I like the under 63.5. I think that Mississippi State's offense has really kind of regressed. The Alabama defense is stepping up. Mississippi State defense is decent. I think Alabama wins by a lot. They're nearly a 31-point favorite, but I don't want to touch that. Instead, I want to play the under in that game. Penn State, as I said, was my blood bank guarantee. Just want to reinforce that again as I look at my list. Arkansas, plus 12.5 on the road. Arkansas, plus 12.5 on the road against Texas A&M. Arkansas has been the surprise story of the SEC so far. And Missouri, I've got plus 14. I got this earlier in the week. Missouri, I think, does a decent job with Connor Bazelak, their quarterback, of keeping it close. I've got Mizzou plus 14 against Florida. Now, I've got J-Mart sitting in with me here. You heard him in the last segment. He's got his own show starting because he's a big shot now. He's got his own show starting at the top of the second hour here locally in Nashville, but he's sitting in with me this morning hanging out. J-Mart, do you care at all about gambling now? Now that in the state of Tennessee, sports gambling is going to be legal on Sunday, will you have any interest in it whatsoever?
I'll have interest in it, Clay. It's just not something I partake in. Personally, that's just a choice of mine. But just in terms of, I'm interested in listening to spreads and listening to people discuss why they make the decisions that they do. And obviously, yeah, the fact that it is happening here in Tennessee, we have to take note of it because it's going to become such a gigantic, it already is, but it's going to become such a gigantic part of what we do. It's going to be impossible to succeed in our line of work if we completely ignore it. It's going to be impossible. So, yeah, of course I'm going to be paying attention to it.
Yeah, you know what's interesting is, what's completely fascinating to me about sports gambling becoming legal is, I would argue, and I've said this for a while, there are three transformative things that have occurred in my life that have changed the way sports is consumed in this country. The first, and I'm old enough, and I think you're probably old enough too, J-Mart, to remember it. The first was, I can remember listening to games on radio. Like, my kids are going to find that to be crazy. And I don't mean listening to games on radio because you're in your car and you have to drive somewhere. I mean listening to games on radio because you don't have the ability to watch them on television. Mm-hmm. So for me, John Ward in the state of Tennessee, I remember getting in my dad or mom's car, and having to listen to the radio, or getting the radio out and tuning it in to be able to listen to it. Same thing with games. I grew up, I used to be able to pick up, I think it was 700 WLW, late at night, you'd be able to hear the Cincinnati Reds. I remember laying in bed as a young kid who was a Reds fan, being able to listen to them call those games while I was going to bed at night for late night games and whatnot. First is cable. Because nowadays, and you can put streaming slash into that now, the idea that you wouldn't be able to watch every sporting event that you want, even if you have to pay for it, is crazy to anybody out there who's listening to us right now in their 20s or younger. Cable changed the availability of sports on a fundamentally different level. Suddenly, there were tons of sports to watch. The second one, transformative sports events in my life. The second one was fantasy. If you go look at ratings for the NFL, they started to skyrocket right as the internet became commonplace in homes, because if you're old like I am, you're 41 years old, I remember playing fantasy in college where some guy had to have a calculator and go through and look up all the different point totals and then send them out to everybody, and it was incredibly time-consuming. Suddenly, you've got Yahoo, which is the first one I remember, with free fantasy sports, drafts are easy, and everybody's playing fantasy sports. And the ratings in the NFL have skyrocketed because it gave all of you out there a reason to care about every game. You had a player to root for, you had a player to root against. The rise of fantasy over the last 20 years has been massive for the NFL. And I think the third transformative sporting event of my life is going to be sports gambling. I really do. I think it's going to change everything. And much like fantasy sports and much like cable sports on television, it's just going to be the third, I would say, transformative leg of this universe. J-Mart, you're about to have to hop out because you got to run and go do your own show.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you sitting in. Thanks for everything you do for the show. Have a good show yourself, and hopefully we'll talk to you again soon.
Indeed. Always fun, Clay.
This is Outkick the Coverage with Clay Travis.